B'shem Kol Yisrael. So I want to share with you a beautiful insight of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in this week's Parsha, Parsha Va'era. So the famous question of the commentators is the following. Hashem tells Moshe that I have hardened, ani hichpadeti, et lev paro. I'm going to harden his heart. And because of that, he warns Moshe, Pharaoh will not let the Jewish people go. And later, of course, we find out that this will be the source of the punishment because Pharaoh refuses to let the Jews leave. It ultimately leads to the complete destruction of Egypt and of Pharaoh. And the question is obvious. How could it be that Hashem is going to punish Moshe, Pharaoh for his stubborn heartedness when Hashem is forcing him by hardening his heart to make the wrong decision? Doesn't that seem unfair? This famous question is taken up most famously by the Rambam in his Hilchos Tshuva. And there, the Rambam, I would say quite surprisingly, says that indeed Hashem actually did remove Pharaoh's free will. And why? Because sometimes a person can be so evil that as a punishment for his evil deeds, God will take away his free will, leading him down the path of his own demise, of his own destruction. I tell you, it's a little bit surprising because, you know, generally, Rambam tries to minimalize on miracles, and this would be a miracle of God getting into Pharaoh's brain. But here, he uses Pharaoh as the prime example of someone who, because of his terrible decisions to throw the babies into the water, he deserved to be punished, and so God hardened his heart. He made an exception clause. I'm gonna take away Pharaoh's free will. The truth is, a close reading of our parsha will reveal that only the first five plagues, Pharaoh hardens his own heart, and only the last five plagues do we hear this idea of God hardening Pharaoh's heart. So it seems to align well with the Rambam's explanation that originally he did indeed have free will, complete free will, but God took it away from him as a result of his evil deeds. And this is a warning to us about, when we have the choice to make the right decisions, to choose. In fact, Rav Sacks talks about kind of an analogy. Oftentimes, a person who's an addict, chas v'shalom, a drug addict or other addictions, it actually becomes physically addictive, where it's almost like you have no choice at a certain point to do the bad habit. But there is a stage before that when you really do have the decision, should I engage in the negative behavior or not? And it's your choice, do I lead myself down the path of destruction like Pharaoh did or not? And we have to grab hold of ourselves, dafka, at that bechira point, at that choosing point, and choose good habits so that they will choose us. But anyways, that's a little bit of a side point. There are other ways to explain the hardening of the heart. Classically, Rav Albo and the Sforno explain, actually, that God was just evening out the playing field because God wanted Pharaoh to choose out of his own free will to make the right decision. And so, after all those miracles, how could Pharaoh not just capitulate to the wrong deed, out of weakness, and give in? But God wanted him to actually choose because it's the right thing to do to free the Jewish people. And so he hardened his heart to kind of give him true free will. I want to offer an answer that I love that I heard a few years back at Bar-Ilan University, and Rabbi Sacks quotes it. The answer is, we now know, according to Egyptian mythology and archaeology, that the Egyptians at this time period actually did have a system of fairness and even a system of judgment and belief in the next world. We've actually found pictures where it's clear that after someone is dead, he goes to a certain judgment day and he's judged and his heart is weighed. The soul resides in the heart. That's why they would leave the heart in the bodies. And the heart is weighed. Now, if the heart is light as a feather, it goes on to eternal reward in the next world. But if it is heavy due to violating the principles to sin, so then it will be weighed down and eaten by a crocodile lion god named Anus. And nobody wants to be eaten forever. So it turns out, according to this mythology, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart actually would have had a clear meaning to those Egyptians and those Jews who grew up in this culture. Our God is bringing Pharaoh down to hell, so to speak, bringing him down to eternal damnation. And we may not have understood this in the last 2,000 years of trying to figure out what does it really mean to harden his heart. But for them, it would have been obvious the meaning, the double meaning of the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh. What I love about this Dvar Torah is a few things. First of all, I love the fact that in every generation, Hashem has given us new tools to understand the biblical text. And I believe that Hashem wants us to use the best of literary analysis, the best of science, the best of archaeology, to unravel the text. Each generation has new tools. And this is an amazing example of how new tools allow us to see the text in whole new understandings and ways. Truthfully, it doesn't really change anything about our, you know, basic theological assumptions, but it does, you know, bring it out, the Torah, in a whole new beautiful mosaic, a whole new beautiful way, and I love that. The second reason that I think Rav Sacks brings this to our Torah in is because Rav Sacks was a man who believed his mission was not just to educate Jews, but to educate non-Jews, and he indeed was really a spokesman talking about the Torah, but speaking to thousands, maybe millions of non-Jews, and he was constantly doing talks before Jews and non-Jews, because he believed that it's the Jewish nation's responsibility and privilege to educate the world, that it's true that there's certain laws of the Torah which are only relevant to Jews, but there are other laws which of ethics and morality that it's our obligation as Jews to go out and teach the world. And indeed, his final books of his life, Morality and the World We Build Together, and many other books were not just Jewish books. They were being discussed in the non-Jewish world. And indeed, he was recognized as a scholar in the non-Jewish world because he believed his mission was to teach ethics and morals to the whole world. And this is what Hashem is doing here. He's holding Pharaoh responsible for his own morality and ethics, which the Torah demands upon Gentiles too. In other words, in Egyptian mythology, before you went to that judgment day, you were expected to make certain statements. I'll give you some example. You had to say, I have not done any injury to man. I have not oppressed those beneath me. I have not murdered. I have not caused suffering to men. These are the expectations that an Egyptian man, an Egyptian king, would have been expected to have carried out to go to heaven. Pharaoh did not live up to his own values. Pharaoh contradicted the values that his own culture expected of him, and indeed, the Ma'at, or the Central Egyptian values, are actually quite similar to Jewish values, and the Torah expects all men, not just Jews, to live up to basic principles of morality. Indeed, it's pshat to say that God says he wants to bring these miracles as otot to educate not just Jews, but non-Jews too. And both in Shemot Yudalad and Shemot Zayin and in other places, it's clear that Hashem wanted to educate the non-Jews, and that Hashem expects us to also go out of our way to make time to educate both Jews and non-Jews, of course, in different ways. But the entire story of the Exodus of Egypt is also us, Hashem, educating the non-Jews. In fact, if you look at the plagues carefully, it's clear that Hashem is going out of his way to kill the non-Jewish gods. The blood kills the Nile, which was one of the gods of the Egyptians. The frogs were directed against Heket, which is one of the Egyptian goddesses of fertility. The ninth plague of darkness was against the Egyptian god of Ra. These lessons are meant for the Jews and for us, but also meant for the non-Jews of those generations and of every generation. What is that one last final lesson for both Jews and non-Jews? Rav Sacks points out that Pharaoh probably could have justified to himself that he was doing all of his evil deeds for the sake of the order of Egypt. He couldn't just let slaves leave, because then maybe all of the slaves would leave and the economy would be destroyed. He couldn't let there become too many, because then maybe the Jews would become like the Hiskos, who would rebel against the Egyptians, as in earlier generations. So I'm sure he had his rationalizations and justifications, but ultimately, he knew, and we know, that he was just rationalizing. Ultimately, he's stubborn-hearted till the end, even when he sees Egypt crumbling and his own rationalizations come crumbling before him as his servants recognize that he is just doing it for selfish purposes. He just refuses to do the right thing and instead does the easy thing. And in fact, the stability that he was trying to preserve ends up crumbling into the chaos right in front of his face. And I think this is also a lesson of our own selves. We have to ask ourselves, what are my values? What are the values which I would espouse? Before I make a decision, ask myself, if someone asked me to do that, what would I honestly advise them to do? Am I being true to my values? Pharaoh was not true to his own values. And it's a lesson for us to not go in the ways of Pharaoh, to be true to our own values. So just to summarize, I love this Dvar Torah of Rabbi Sacks because it teaches us that the Torah is relevant in every generation, that we can use the wisdom of the world to enhance our understanding of the Torah. And it also teaches us a lesson about morality, which is expected of Gentiles, and our understanding that we are brothers with our fellow non-Jews. We are all children of God, and we are expected to learn from them and educate them in the ways of Hashem and in the Torah. So that's my Parsha board of Rabbi Sacks for the day, for the week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did it, have any questions, please email me at keithflax@gmail.com or WhatsApp me. If you enjoyed the Dvar Torah, share it with someone else who might enjoy it. And keep on reading Rabbi Sacks' amazing books and works inspiring our generation. Be'ezrat Hashem, have a beautiful Shabbos.